Well, the past couple weeks, I'm sure that you know, have seen impeachment hearings against President Trump in the United States House of Representatives. If you've been following this at all, you'll know that the focus of the hearings centers around a suspension of a financial aid package to the Ukraine this past summer that the president ordered. $391 million had been approved by Congress and the State Department to assist the Ukraine primarily with the defense of their country against their militarily aggressive neighbors, the Russians. But President Trump stopped that aid from going there for a time. It has since been sent. House of Representatives is holding these impeachment hearings because of the alleged reasons that the president decided to withhold those funds. One item being discussed in these hearings, as you know, is whether or not the president withheld the aid because he wanted to pressure the Ukrainians into investigating the son of one of his potential opponents in the race for president that will happen next year. Joe Biden's son, Hunter, had been on the board of a Ukrainian oil company that had been involved in or accused of corruption, and I don't know all the details on that. Second item being discussed in the impeachment hearings is whether or not the president withheld the aid because he wanted to pressure the Ukrainians into investigating rumors that it was Ukrainian people rather than Russian military officers who hacked into a computer server owned and used by the Democratic National Committee just prior to the presidential election in 2016. And if you were paying attention back in 2016, you'll remember that the DNC, Democratic National Computer server, was hacked into, and embarrassing content, including some of Hillary Clinton's emails, were released to the public just a few months prior to Election Day. FBI concluded after months of investigating that hack that 12 Russian military officers had been responsible for it, and they named all 12 men and indicted them for that act. The presumed motivation for the hack was to cause trouble for the Democrats because allegedly the Russians had decided they would rather see Donald Trump as U.S. president. Despite those FBI conclusions, however, rumors have circulated since then that the FBI inquiry was flawed and that it was actually Ukrainians who were behind this hack. There's even a rumor that the computer server that was hacked actually was and maybe still is in the Ukraine. These rumors have been called false by the FBI and the U.S. intelligence community. I'm not 100% sure why President Trump is interested in these rumors, and he did mention the computer server in this well-publicized phone call he had with the Ukrainian president this past summer. He asked him to look into the rumors, and that's all been big news. My understanding, and I could be wrong about this, is that the president's not happy with the media's assertion that the Russians helped him get elected in 2016, and perhaps if there was some other explanation for those hacks other than the Russians being involved, that would help him save face. I'm thinking maybe that's part of it. There also seems to be a suggestion in the rumors that the Democrats somehow came up with the idea of blaming the hack on the Russians and got the FBI to cooperate. So perhaps the president is trying to expose that if the rumors were true. So I'm not really sure about his interest in these rumors. I'm not even sure I understand the rumors correctly. I haven't read extensively on it, but and I'm sure some of you have a better grasp of this stuff than I do. All right, now listen here now. I am not bringing all this up to make any comment whatsoever on this impeachment process or President Trump's involvement with the Ukrainians. My sermon today isn't about whether you should be liberal or conservative in your political views. I needed to explain all of that to you because I want to take a sermon illustration from a current event story here for us this morning. And the story I want us to take a look at together is an October 17 press conference that President Trump's acting chief of staff, Mick Mulvaney, conducted at the White House. After we're done looking at this press conference, I'll begin explaining why I'm talking about all of this. Again, this is not a Republican or a Democrat thing. Let's just look at this story on its own merits. So the whole Ukrainian matter came up at this October 17 press briefing with the chief of staff, Mick Mulvaney. A reporter asked Mr. Mulvaney why President Trump had held up those funds, those aid funds to the Ukraine. And Mr. Mulvaney gave three answers. And by the way, I watched the actual hearings. I want to make sure I get this stuff right, you know. Lots of ways to get in trouble when you enter into the political arena here. So I watched the actual press briefing. Mulvaney answered that question by saying that there were three reasons the president and his team withheld the money. They were, number one, that President Trump doesn't like foreign aid in general, especially when it's going to corrupt governments, and there have been reasons to believe that the Ukrainian government is corrupt. Number two, President Trump felt that other countries should be helping Ukraine with defense aid as well, but it appears we're the only ones helping them with military aid. And then the third reason, and now I'll quote directly from him, Mr. Mulvaney said, did President Trump also mention to me the corruption related to the DNC server? Wes, I got to get that one up on the screen there. It's all right. Here we go. Did President Trump also mention to me the corruption related to the DNC server? Absolutely, no question about that. But that's it, and that's why we held up the money. A reporter then asked, so the demand for an investigation into the Democrats was part of the reason he ordered to withhold funding to Ukraine? Mulvaney responded, the look back to what happened in 2016 was part of the thing he was worried about in corruption with that country. For withholding the funding, the reporter asked. Yeah, Mulvaney answered. And then the reporter again. Next slide. But to be clear, what you just described is a quid pro quo. It is, funding will not flow unless the investigation into the Democratic server happens. Mulvaney's response was, we do that all the time with foreign policy. A bit later he added, I have news for you, get over it. There's going to be political influence in foreign policy. At the end of the very same day, Mick Mulvaney released a press statement that said this. Once again, the media has decided to misconstrue my comments to advance a biased and political witch hunt against President Trump. Let me be clear, there was absolutely no quid pro quo between Ukrainian military aid and any investigation into the 2016 election. The president never told me to withhold any money until the Ukrainians did anything related to the server. Those two statements don't add up, right? Now, if it was possible for me to go talk to Mick Mulvaney, I would, because you never know. Maybe there's something I'm not understanding. But since that is not likely to happen, I think that we can make some, at face value judgments here. At face value, it certainly appears to me that Mick Mulvaney has told a lie. Either in his first recollection of what had happened, or in his follow-up statement. Both of these things cannot be true. Now, there's going to be here in the room this morning people who vote Republican, people who vote Democrat. Mick Mulvaney obviously is a Republican, but let me quickly remind us all that not telling the truth isn't only practiced by some Republican politicians. It most definitely is also practiced by some Democratic politicians. Lying is a bipartisan practice within our political arena. And it is the subject of lying, of not telling the truth, that I would like us to consider here this morning. It's interesting. Sometimes when I'm writing sermons and I have this thing I want to talk about, and I know it's a biblical topic or biblical principle, and then I go digging into the Bible to get some support for what I want to say. On occasion, this is not regular, but every once in a while, I discover that that particular thing, maybe there's only, three or four Bible passages on it in the Bible. And it's still a biblical principle. It's in there, and I can talk about it, but sometimes I get surprised because I think there should be more. I was expecting more biblical support. And for a moment, when I sat down to do this, the research for this sermon, I wondered in my head, if I don't know why that went through my head, but I thought, oh, there are Bible verses on honesty, right? I mean, I know they're in there, right? I just had this momentary concern that I wouldn't find a ton of verses on it. Well, let me show you what my research turned up. Here is Proverbs 12:22. It says, lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but those who act faithfully are his delight. Colossians 3:9-10. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have now put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Psalm 34:13. Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Zechariah 8:16. These are the things that you shall do. Speak the truth to one another Render in your gates judgments that are true and make for peace. 1 John 3:18, dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth. James 5:12, but above all, my brothers, do not swear either by heaven or by earth or by any other oath, but let your yes be yes and your no be no. Psalm 15, 1-3. Lord, who may live on your holy mountain? The one whose walk is blameless, who does what is righteous, who speaks the truth from their heart, whose tongue utters no slander. Proverbs 6, 16-19. There are six things the Lord hates, seven that are an abomination to him: haughty or prideful eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that make haste to run to evil, a false witness who breathes out lies, and one who sows discord among brothers. Oh, did you want to keep going? Okay, here we go. First Peter 3:10. Whoever desires to love life and see good days, let him keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Ephesians 4:15. Speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ. Ephesians 4:25. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. And you might just recall that one of the Ten Commandments that God gave to Moses for us said this: you shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. This is not a sermon where I am suffering from a lack of biblical support. So, honesty, telling the truth, it's so important that we live and act and speak in truth. Sure looks like God thinks it's important. And that shouldn't be surprising to us, given that in the descriptions of who God is in the Bible, he is equated with truth. Truth is part of who God is. In John 14:17, God's Spirit is called the Spirit of Truth. In John 14:6, God's Son, Jesus, calls himself the truth. He said, I am the way, and I am the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. First chapter of John said this of Jesus, who here is called the Word: and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we've seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. God's Son is truth. God's Spirit is truth. God is truth. And the message that God sent into the world through his work with Israel and his Son Jesus through the Bible, God's message to humanity is, unsurprisingly, equated to truth. Psalm 119:160. The sum of your word, O God, is truth, and every one of your righteous rules endures forever. John 17:17. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. Psalm 25:5. Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. And John 8:32, Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples, then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. God is truth, and if we want to come to him, we need to start moving ourselves into the realm of truth as well. We need to deal with God in truth. Here's John 4:24. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and worship him in truth. Where does mistruth come from? Where does lying come from? In John chapter 8, Jesus was talking to the Jews who were hoping to kill him, and he said this to them: you are of your father the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and has nothing to do with truth, because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. So when we tell the truth in our lives, we're imitating the one who made us, the God of all truth. And when we tell lies, we're imitating the fallen angel who came into creation and deceived us and brought our whole race into condemnation, the destroyer, the murderer, the devil. The Bible tells us to speak the truth. All right, so I'm certain there are politicians out there who are trying to pursue their work in an ethical manner, some who are really trying to speak the truth. I'm sure that's true. And I have compassion for those people. I'm not so sure that it's terribly easy in politics today to succeed while behaving ethically. But man, where are those ethical politicians? They just don't seem to be in the headlines. Where is the politician who doesn't participate in the mudslinging? Where is the politician who treats his or her opponents with respect, who acts calmly and with dignity? It's hard to believe what any politician says because we so often observe these people saying what they need to say in order to get elected. And then later, when there are less political consequences for them, then they tell you what they really think. Right? It's not okay. It's not okay to do something and then tell everybody that you didn't do it. Or to not do something and tell everybody that you did. Yeah, I get it. You can get people off your back. They're hounding you. The press will pick up your quote and say you denied doing such and such thing, and some will believe it. But if you did that thing, then you just lied, and that's not okay. So, all you politicians listening to me today, which is zero, maybe one will happen to drive through the KLQP listening area in a couple Sundays and hear my sermon at 10 a.m. That would be my one shot. In any case, all you politicians out there, let me say this to you. I know it might be tough on you to do politics with strict ethics, but guess what? God didn't say don't lie unless you're practicing politics. He said don't lie ever. Following God's commands is more important than climbing the political ladder. And frankly, you know, it really doesn't show a whole lot of faith in God if you are, assuming you are a Christ follower politician or wanting to be one. It doesn't show much faith in God if you decide that you have to behave unethically in order to succeed in your career. Man, if God wants you in political office, he can get you there, even if you don't play the game like everybody else does. God can do anything he wants. So if you obey God and he wants you in political office, you'll get there. Boy, do we need ethically consistent Christ-following people in politics. I will pray for that person. It's okay to learn the tricks of the trade, but man, practice your trade ethically. Well, I'm hammering away at politicians thus far this morning, and isn't that nice? I'm keeping the focus off of you and me. So then, how about I address the people who actually are listening to this sermon today, including myself? The honesty principle applies just as much to you and me, of course. It's not okay for us to do something and then tell people that we didn't do it. Or to not do something and tell them that we did. Same deal. Well, let's think of some examples where we might be tempted to lie. Back when I was in my 20s, I was surprised and disheartened to learn that a person that I had attended church youth group with when I was growing up, a person who still was a Christian, was openly cheating when it came to paying his taxes. He would talk openly about it. He was in the construction business at the time, following in the footsteps of his father, a man who, as I remember, I believe was on our church board when at our church, and his father had taught my friend to take cash for certain jobs. Because if you took cash, then you don't have to report that on your income tax form. Well, here's an area that maybe some people who would normally otherwise be really strict about telling the truth seem to feel that there's a different standard when it comes to paying taxes to the U.S. government. Well, if lying is wrong everywhere else, why would it be okay for us to tell the government that we only made $100 on a job when we actually made two? Why would it be okay to hide income on an income tax form? I'll tell you the answer. It's not okay. Matthew chapter 22. The Pharisees went out and laid plans to trap Jesus in his words. Tell us then, what's your opinion, they said. Is it right to pay the imperial tax to Caesar or not? But Jesus, knowing their evil intent, said, you hypocrites, why are you trying to trap me? Show me the coin used for paying the tax. They brought him a denarius. And he asked them, whose image is this? Whose inscription? Caesar's, they replied. And he said to them, give back to Caesar what is Caesar's, and to God what is God's. So yeah, Christ followers are supposed to pay their taxes fully. But even if Jesus hadn't taught that little lesson there, lying on your tax form still would not be okay because God has taught us not to lie. Where else are we tempted to lie from time to time? What about splitting a TV subscription service with your friend? Tell you what, Dallas, I'll order the Major League Baseball streaming service. You pay me half of it. I'll give you my password and sign-on information, and we can both have that service for half the price. It's ingenious. And it's lying. You and I both know, Dallas, that the price that Major League Baseball set for their service is per household. I'm not saying the price that they set is a fair one or that I should want to pay the full price. But what I'm saying is that I should not lie and share my sign-in info with someone who is not in my household. That's lying. Christ followers are to be above that kind of behavior. Sorry, Dallas. Yeah, telling the truth, you know, I just think for our society to run, we need to have truth and honesty. Author John G. Messerly points out that even something as basic as human communication is pointless unless we assume that others will tell the truth. He says, if I ask you what time it is or for directions to London, I'm assuming you won't lie. If I assume the opposite, there wasn't much point in me asking the question. Human communication relies on truth. And so much of human life and society centers around finding solutions for the common problems that we collectively face. But problems, Messerly says, are hard to solve when you start with truth, much more so when you begin with falsehoods. So truth is just important for our society to function. We know that lying, of course, can cause terrible harm to people. I'm guessing most of you can think of a time in your life when somebody spread a story about you that wasn't true. And when you found out about it, how did that feel? Painful, right? Lies can cause terrible pain. What if a drug research company looking to make money hides some negative research about the drug they're about to launch because they want to make money? Obviously, that could lead to terrible physical pain for those other human beings who might take that drug in the future. Telling the truth is vitally important. And then in our relationships with each other, have you ever had a friend who regularly lies to you? How close did you feel to that person? At least not too close after you learned about their lying. We have to trust each other to be able to form close relationships. And operating in truth is most important and the most important of all human relationships, that of the relationship you have with your spouse. Marriage has to be built on truth and honesty. Otherwise, frankly, your relationship is based on a sham to some extent. And I'll tell you one fact of life here, the truth is going to come out in the end. It always does. So better to go through the pain of confessing now to your marriage partner than wait for when it comes out later. It'll be painful now, it'll be worse later. I have some personal experience in this scenario. It's not okay for us to attempt to build our relationships, especially with our spouses, on a foundation that includes lies. Okay? The right thing is to tell the whole truth. And if you got started in the wrong direction, correct it now. Yeah, confession may lead to destruction and pain, but that's the result of the sin and the lies. Confession's the good part. and if you don't confess now, you give up the possibility that that person might have mercy on you. And you also give up the possibility that you might be able to experience the kind of closeness that comes from a relationship built on complete truth and trust with each other. The truth will set you free, Jesus said, right? Freedom. So relationships require truth, especially those with our spouses. I'm not saying you got to bare your soul to every person you have a relationship with out there, okay? Some truths only need to go to a few safe, trusted people. But that doesn't mean that you lie to those who you're not bearing your soul to, right? I mean, we should be able to find some healthy boundaries without lying, I would think. So, but yeah, relationships function on trust and truth. every situation, God calls us to be truthful. If you're an employee, you've got to be an honest, truthful employee. If you own a business, we need to run that business with honesty and truth, no cheating, no cutting corners. God calls us to the highest standards. If we're filling out an application for a job or a school, it's not okay to put down qualifications that aren't true. And I think of that recent college admissions scam that's been in the news. If you're a student, it's not okay to cheat on a test or turn in work that's not yours. You know this. We need to be people who tell the truth. God calls us to live in truth. Amen. So, I think that part of our job in the church, when we see our culture, even the leaders in our government, becoming more and more comfortable with telling lies, is to call that out, even if they're not really listening. Part of our job is to call on our leaders to speak truth and stop the lies. We're to communicate this message in our churches, in our communities. We must do this as members of the Church of Jesus Christ. We must teach our young people that the way many of our political leaders, it seems, go about things these days is not okay. We are not to follow their example. But more important than calling on other people to tell the truth, our job as members of the church is to make sure that we are telling the truth and living rightly. What I want to read or see on TV when I watch the news from Washington is I want to see a bunch of men and women who act in integrity and in truth-telling, who act with dignity. That's what I want to see. I don't see that. But as always, it starts with you and with me. Are we people who act with integrity and in truth-telling and who act with dignity? Are we people who are always going to try to do the right thing? Well, praise God for his mercy for us, because we've all messed this one up, right? And let's praise him also for calling us to this good and wise standard. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Would you pray with me? Lord God, you do set wise and good standards for us. You are the standard. And we never, ever meet that standard or even approach doing that perfectly. And so you sent your son, Jesus, to save us from that predicament, and we thank you. But Lord, when it comes to the subject that we've talked about here this morning, telling the truth, I think this one in general, at least, is not all that hard to follow. We just need to make a commitment in our lives to always tell the truth and not lie. And of course, there are going to be gray areas, and there will be some areas in which this will be hard to do, but I think as far as a general approach in life, Lord, we can do this. So convict us in this today, Lord. God, give us that conviction to live in truth and speak truth. Enable us to be the people who act in integrity and with dignity, always looking to do the right thing, speaking the truth. And then may we not only do our best to model this, but also to spread your good teaching in our community, our country, our world, so that there will be more and more of this right behavior rather than less and less of it, which seems to be what we're observing in our news today. Lord, we do pray for our political leaders. I pray for those who are trying to do things the right way, that you would encourage them and help them. And for those who are not, we pray that you would convict them and turn them in a different direction, and that they would know you. Pray for our country, Lord, that hearts would be turned to you. We thank you for your wisdom and your goodness. Amen.